I thought about what to share with you, and I kept going back and forth, trying to get peace with the Lord on what to share. And I'm struck by what's going on in the Friday night meetings, and I felt compelled to share with everybody here what we're doing on Friday night, because I think it's significant. We're continuing to see prayers get answered, and because of that, I just felt like that the Lord wanted me to share with you kind of what's happening. At home for the holidays, we began to pray. We was asking God for specific things, some that had to do with this congregation, this church, and then some were just individual things that we were praying about. Lori and Willie and Teresa, I think, and Mary and Sharon and some of the ladies meet here on Thursday night for prayer. But I really felt like that, okay, after Home for the Holidays, me and Ken had discussed this months ago, coming out of Home for the Holidays, what was the Lord saying, trying to just hear the voice of God. Does the Lord want us to continue to do something down there? And so we thought, well, you know what, it certainly ain't going to be something that if, in fact, it's not a good idea, it's not going to hurt nothing to get together and look into the Word, pray together, do whatever. So then what is the Lord, what standard was the Lord looking for in our meetings? And God is bringing steadily definition to it. And it is a Bible learning time, but it's also a prayer time that I think is centered around what was in the hearts of the people that were gathered there on Friday night. So a couple of weeks we did a study on some Bible theology type things to start building a little framework. Two Friday nights ago, when we got there, I just didn't feel like that's what we should do, and I didn't know that until we got there. And so I was just whispering to the Lord, "Lord, what is it that you want?" And so the question come up, what is the deepest spiritual desire that you have? And they would name it, and I'd write it up on the whiteboard. I love whiteboards a lot better than PowerPoint, actually, but there in that building, it's conducive for that. And so the first thing that was brought up was, let's pray for the reclaiming of the prodigals. So we wrote that up. The next thing that came up was, let's pray that we learn how to live in the presence of God. Then this came up. Let's learn how to answer the call of God in our lives. This one was significant. It's always going to be significant. Let's pray that our nation returns to God. Let's pray for family reconciliation. And then the last one was, let's pray for a hunger for the Word of God. So they chose it. I did. Those that were there, they chose this path to pray specifically for these areas. So I've always believed this. I believe that prayer and the Word of God cannot be separated. they go together. As a matter of fact, I'll even say this. This is without giving you biblical understanding, but I hope you'll hear my heart. And this can be proven in the Word. Intercession and worship cannot be separated. The two cannot be separated. So while we are attacking prayer in one way, Lori and Ems, I know, tackling prayer in another way here. It's, I would think that it's more a prophetic calling in the intercession that's going on here. When we began to pray concerning these things, what we didn't know was, or what we did realize, but it came up anyway, was that one of these topics that we were praying for was being answered right before our very eyes. So this past Friday, we started at the top of the list, and we started naming prodigals that God would reclaim. Well, can I tell you something? To pray for the reclaiming of prodigals, you have to understand what a prodigal is. You have to have biblical understanding of what a prodigal is. And can I just declare this to you before you get too judgmental? You, at either one time in your life or another, or possibly even now, are a prodigal. And there's no other way around that. How many of you have ever spent some time in the hog pen? If you don't agree to that, it's just because you're too religious to admit it. And you probably need to repent of a religious spirit. About all of us at some time or another has spent time in the hog pen away from God. And most of the time it's because we haven't answered the call in our lives. We haven't met the requirements. I want to tell you something that you need to know. You need to hear this. Salvation's free. It's a free gift. But to walk with God will cost you everything. Do you know that? Salvation's free. But if you want to walk with God, it'll cost you everything you got. That's why Jesus said, if you're going to follow after me, pick up your cross. In other words, lay down your life. Lay down your desire. Lay down your plan. Lay down your ambition. Lay down everything that you think is going to make you happy and follow me. Now watch this. If you fail to answer that call, you are on a pathway toward the hog pen. You're headed down a pathway that makes you a prodigal. Now in talking about the prodigal, we looked a little bit, and I'd ask you to turn, if you would, to Luke 15 in your Bibles, and we looked a little bit at what the definition is of a prodigal. And I don't have the whiteboard to draw it up, but you'll get the gist of it, I'm sure. We'll look at Luke 15, starting with verse 11. We'll read several verses, which is unusual for me, but we'll read several verses here of the whole story, because I want you to get the whole story. And you've heard this many times, I know, and you're probably so familiar with it, but I want you to listen to it as if you're hearing it for the very first time. I want you to apply it to your own life, and I want to apply it to mine, and let's get a little understanding of what it means to reclaim the prodigal. Before we read that, however, let me just ask you, when you mention prodigal and the reclaiming of prodigals, how many of you know some people or you have some friends that's made a profession of faith in Christ, but you know and can tell by the fruit of their life that they are either on a pathway toward the hog pen or they're already at the hog pen? You know people like that? Yep. If we're going to pray for the reclaiming of the prodigals, which I believe an issue that we really need to pray about. I believe that that is a topic that we need to attack fervently in prayer, is the reclaiming of the prodigals. So I want you to keep those people in mind as well as yourself. Here's the story, Luke 15:11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Isn't it interesting that the father didn't even hesitate? He just did what was requested. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. There he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And when he joined himself to a citizen of that country, let's just pause there and point this out, that every time you're on your way toward the hog pen, you'll normally find somebody headed in the same direction, and you'll say, yep, that's my friend, I'm going to fellowship with him. Why? Because evil begets evil. Righteousness begets righteousness. Here's what you'll learn about somebody that's mad. They always want to hang out with somebody else that's mad. Here's what you'll learn about somebody that's depressed. They always want to find somebody else that's depressed and hang out with them. Here, this young man was headed away from the father's house, and he joined himself to a citizen of that far country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And when he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He said, I'll arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. Get this. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants, and he asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother's come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. The elder brother was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It is meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Now, to understand that prayer of reclaiming the prodigals, you need to understand just about all of the characters involved in the story. We only got to the prodigal this past Friday. But there's other characters in the story. There's the father. There's the elder son. There's the servants. All of which in this story has relative principles on your life. Now, I'm going to tell you why the prodigal left, and I want to do this quickly because I want to say some other things, and then we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about other things, all right? But hear this. The prodigal began his journey to the hog pen not necessarily because he wanted his own way, even though that's what we gravitate to in our mind. He headed to the hog pen because he rebelled against the authority of his father. Okay? Now let me say that again. He went to the hog pen because he rebelled against the authority of his father. Now this brings to us an important principle of learning about sin. There is a myth that has been in the church, I believe, for some time. It's been misunderstood. That and it starts this way. And let me tell you, the greatest lie is something mixed with truth. Y'all know that, right? So watch this. Here's something that a lot of people think. Well, all sin is sin in the eyes of God, and it's all equal. No, it's not. That's a lie. There are some sins that have greater consequences than other sins. Therefore, all sin cannot be equal. Even though the sin in our lives we try to justify while judging someone else's sin, and we use that banter of all sin is equal, no, it is not. There are sins of weakness, and there are sins of rebellion. Those two different types of sin is handled differently in the Word of God. I'm talking about from a consequential standpoint, how God deals with us. Even though Jesus Christ died for all sin, there is a difference in sin. Here's what the Scripture says. Listen to this. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That's what the Old Testament teaches us. So rebellion, sins of rebellion, are of far greater consequence than sins of weakness. I said something Friday, and this may get us in trouble. And so since the pastor's not here, if you have a problem with what I'm about to say, call him at home at 2:00 in the morning. All right? I'm sure he'll enjoy that as I'm sure he's listening. I said this Friday night, might get us in trouble, but listen to this. When I was growing up as a kid, you know what preachers preached against when they preached against sin? Smoking, drinking, and adultery. I would to God that we could get back to those sins. Hear what I just said? Because now we got to talk about transgenderism and homosexuality and things that are unnatural. There are natural sins and unnatural sins. The reason rebellion is as of the sin of witchcraft is because it's demonic, therefore it is unnatural. But the lusts of the flesh that's described in the book of Galatians, those are sins of weakness. I've said this, you've heard me say this, I'll say it again. I'm the son of Doug Rowland, Doug and Shirley Rowland. They're in heaven. Joe is the son of Doug and Shirley Rowland. Interwoven in the genetic, physical DNA of who we are the traits handed down by Doug and Shirley Rowland. Whether we like it or whether we do not like it, we are like our parents physically. Everybody say amen. Here's why we know that. When you got saved, according to the writings of Peter, you were given a divine nature. You're in the process of becoming like Jesus. Is that not what the total story of the Word of God is? To bring us back to a point of perfection where we are like Jesus. And the Scripture says, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but what we do know is when he shall appear, we shall see him as he is, for we shall be like him. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. At salvation, a new nature was given to you, and you became a new creation in Christ Jesus. Therefore, there are two natures at odds: your flesh nature and the nature of God. Therein lies the struggle. If you begin to feed the flesh nature too much, it will turn from natural to unnatural and lead you in a path of rebellion. No, Lord, I don't want to do it your way. How many of you heard what I just said? So in the story of the prodigal, his flesh nature, the weakness, the tendencies passed down from generation to generation, developed a process of thought in his mind where he had it figured out how he wanted to live life. And surely God would understand, because that's what's going to make him happy. As he struggled between that and the authority of his father, he's in weakness. But at some point it turns to rebellion, and when it turns to rebellion, he goes to his father and says, "You just don't know what makes me happy. I want what's coming to me. I'm going to leave your place." So here's the principles that you can follow from the prodigal. How many of you listen? Everybody say, "I'm listening." Here's what leads you down the path to the hog pen. It's when you get tired of and weary of what the Father is providing. Do you know what we call that? I just want to pause to say I hate Satan. Can I just say that out loud? I hate him. We call things like, "I'm spiritually burnt out." Did you know that that's an impossibility? It's spiritually impossible. But it is fleshly with us all the time. We get tired of feasting on the Word of God. We get tired and weary of praying day after day. We get weary and tired of coming to church and going through the same motions day after day. Why? Because it's no longer fresh to us. Everybody say amen. When you get weary of what the Father is providing for you, you are on your way to the hog pen. Here's another principle that you can learn about what leads you to the hog pen. Not just when you get weary of what the Father's providing, but when you get weary of being in the Father's presence. Oh, that's big. And you'd think, how could that possibly be? Well, here's how that happens. Here's a pretty good indication that you're getting weary of being in the Father's presence. It's because that in His presence, you don't get your way anymore. You don't matter anymore. The things that you previously cared about no longer exist. Statement that Joe made when he first got cancer, and me and Joe Barrett's talked about this a thousand times. A couple of weeks ago, it came up again. Joe got cancer, and they couldn't operate, and he was stuck with it. He had to have radiation. I don't know how 100,000 treatments and 15 million chemo treatments, and he looked like death warmed over. And Joe told me this. He said, "I have learned that 99% of the things that I used to care about that mattered don't matter." You hear you got cancer, and that's what happens to you. Things don't matter anymore. Listen, let me tell you something. Y'all know I do a podcast with Alan Smith. Alan got diagnosed with cancer. It's been 30 years ago. It was before he came to the church. He got diagnosed with cancer, and they didn't even do any treatment. He had lung cancer, and they didn't even do any treatment. They just sent him home to die. They said, "You're going to die." He had lost down. He weighed 130 pounds. And he's laying there, and he said, "This was the oddest thing." He said, "I went to the grocery store, because he said, I thought I'd get me some ice cream." And he went to the grocery store, and he said, "Well, ain't no need in buying a half a gallon. I'll just get a quart, because I ain't going to live long enough to eat the half a gallon." That's the truth. He said, it's not like you're going to go to the shoe store and buy new shoes. You ain't going to live long enough to wear them. See, you know what he learned? He learned that in this life, the things that we are so worried about and troubled about, they don't really matter. Now, here's the thing about being in the presence of God. Everybody say, I'm listening. When you're in the presence of God, you no longer matter. Only he does. The reason we get weary of being in the Father's presence is because it so alters our life, it so transforms our thinking and our heart that we find it hard then to engage in this physical universe. Are y'all with me? Those are just some principles, and we're already nearly out. Yeah, we are. We're out of time for this time, and I'm going to share something totally different next time. But I do want to say this much. It's not just the prodigal that you need to understand. I'm going to take just an extra minute or two. Have you considered the Father in this scenario? Do you know what the Father did when the son came and said, give me what's mine? He gave it to him. Now, years ago, I've got this wrote in my Bible. Years ago, I wrote down this principle and I preached it for I know a year. The most severe penalty and punishment that can ever be given to you is to give you what you want when you reject what you need. That principle will run from Genesis all the way through Revelation. But make no mistake about this, God will give you what you want. If you want to go your own way, he'll let you. Don't fall prey to this idea, well, God's so sovereign that boy, he's going to hem you up. No, let me tell you something. You either choose to love him and follow him, or you don't. He will let you have your own way. And can I tell you that in some kind of a painful universe, the greatest blessing that we have is for God to let us follow our own path. Because most of the time, that's the only thing that will bring us back to God. Herein lies a greater principle of prayer. Father, whatever it takes for Willie to walk where Willie needs to walk. Father, whatever it takes for Jeff to walk where he needs to walk. Father, oh, listen, are y'all hearing me? If it takes pain, if it takes adversity to keep me where I need to be, bless me with it. Y'all hear that? So there's all kinds of things about the Father we're going to talk about in more Fridays coming up. But this is just in praying for the reclaiming of the prodigals. I share this last thing with you because this one's always intrigued me, and it's about the elder brother. Boy, ain't he a joker. I mean, watch. His younger brother goes off on a path of his own, ends up in the hog pen. Nobody can find him. I can prove this to you. It's another thing about the Father. The Father looked for him every day. Every day, the Father kept looking down the path to see if his son was coming back. It also tells us that the Father always knew his son was coming back. See, there's a whole big doctrine you can develop about that. Let me just throw this out there at you. There was not one good thing you could do to get saved. Do you know it took all, it was all Jesus. There ain't nobody good in here. Right? Watch, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you're saved, you got saved because of Jesus and Jesus alone. No good work you could do to get saved. Ain't that right? then there can't be no bad work you can do to get lost. I don't know why you're not having a revival right there. I mean, do you hear what I just said? When God gave me eternal life, He gave me eternal life. It's forever. So the father knew the son was going to come back home. So here comes the younger son, and he throws a party. Puts a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet, robe around him. They kill the fatted calf, and they have a big party. The servants is calling everybody in, and there's music, and there's dancing, celebrating the return. And here comes the elder brother from the fields working, and he says, "Hey, what's going on? Haven't you heard? Your younger brother's back." "What? You're throwing a party?" "Yeah, your younger brother's back. He that was lost is now found. And your father's rejoicing with the servants and the workers. And we're having a party, man. There's music and dancing. Come on in." And he says, "I ain't going in that stupid party." I mean, while he's been out there living it up, I've been out here in the fields working. There ain't a person in this building that would have went to the party either. Now just say amen to that. What do you mean throw him a party? He's been out there living it up. I've been slaving out here in the fields. Not one time have I transgressed your commandment. But listen to what the father says. The father says, "Yeah, son, you're right. I put a ring on his finger. But every ring I have in the jewelry box is yours. I put a robe around him, but every article of clothing I've got in the closet belongs to you. Yeah, I killed the fatted calf, but all of the cattle grazing on all these hills, they all belong to you." Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? This is a parable the Lord spoke, by the way. See, y'all remember there's no difference between sin. I told you the other Sunday. It's a myth to also think that when we get to heaven, everybody's going to be equal. You know what the Lord was telling the elder brother? "You've served me faithfully, and all that I have is thine." That's what the scripture says. "Yeah, I killed a calf. I put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, robe around him, and we're throwing a party. But we're going to party forever over your faithfulness. Your inheritance is much greater." That's why Jesus said, when we get to heaven, the first will be last, the last will be first. Y'all hearing me? This is why the degrees of rebellion and weakness are so important. Here's why. When you're praying for somebody, don't just target the weakness. Target the demonic spirit that has created rebellion. And if you don't have faith enough to believe that's a reality from the Word of God, you will never get out of the hog pen. The prodigal had to come to himself. It's just so much. There's too much in there. I read too much scripture, but too much in there. He came to himself. Here's my prayer for every prodigal and for you, that you will come to yourself and say, "I've wandered away from the Father's house. I want to go back home. I've wandered away in my prayer life. I want to come back to more prayer. I've wandered away from Bible, the Word of God, and studying the Word of God. I want to come back. I've wandered away from worship. I want to come back. I've wandered away from caring what everybody else thinks. I want to come back to where I lose myself in Christ." Y'all hearing me? If we don't do that, we're going to end up in the hog pen. I challenged everybody Friday night. I challenge you with this final thing. In order to come to yourself, you have to get God to introduce you to you. So before we left Friday night, we wrote down all the prodigals that we had named. We had named out when someone come to our mind, we said, that's a prodigal right there. We're going to pray them back in. We named them. And before we left, Lisa said, let's add one more thing to the praying. And I said, what? And she said, let's pray, God, show me me. Because if you ever get a good picture of you, that's all it'll take to say, you know what? I'm going back to the Father's house. God introduced me to me one time. And when it happened, I was way out in Wyoming. And I had to just pull over. I put it in park. I got out of the vehicle. I walked around to a river that was flowing, and there was deer on the other side. And I thought about the scripture that says how that the deer pants after the water brooks. And I was looking at that, and I saw the dirt and the filth and the black that was in me. And there I was on this highway. I was coming out of Gray Bull, Wyoming. It's, I think, population 12 or something. Miles from the interstate. And there I was on the side of the road with my hands up like this. I said, oh God, forgive me. And I began to confess the things he showed. I didn't know I was that black. I didn't know my heart was that black. And I needed to be cleansed as white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Lord, cleanse me. When you get introduced to yourself, you'll come back home. Know this, if you've ever trusted Christ as your Savior, the Father knows you're coming back. And if it takes the hog pen to do it, that's what will happen. How many of you have heard what I've said? Bless, Lord, your word to our hearts. Be with us in the time to come. Bless our worship. Bless everything that, Lord, I pray you'll have your way today. How many of you in here right now agree with me on that? God, have your way today. In our presence, in our midst, in our hearts. Lord, we're going to surrender our minds and our hearts to you right now. And we're going to say, Lord Jesus, we need your presence. We pray, God, you'll bless our pastor, his wife, bring healing to them. God, bless Saleya right now. Give her peace and bring healing to her back. Guide the doctor's hands. Remove any fear. Give her perfect peace in that situation. Lord Jesus, right now, and I'm hoping everybody here will join me with this, whether you've got children, grandchildren, friends, or something that you know are prodigals, Lord, we call them right now and we say, reclaim the prodigal, Father. Whatever it takes, reclaim the prodigals. And Lord, it'd be all right with us if you'd call that raggedy bunch into this building. They'd fit right in with us because we too were lost, but we're found. We were blind, but now we see. We were wretched, but you made us accepted in the Beloved. And so, Lord, our hearts are filled with compassion for those that have wandered away. We call them back to you, Father. Your children that's walking a distance, call them back, Father. Call them back, whatever it takes. We give you great praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen.